Okay, so today's daf is daf Samach Dalet. So we got to the top of Samach Dalet around 8 lines down. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel. He's made the following statement. We've been discussing since the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, the issue of Mered, if either she or he rebels, that either rebelling against doing any Melacha or rebelling against any Tashmish, and when he, if he's the one who's rebelling, so then he loses. He has to add three dinar per week, was it? And if she rebels, she loses 7 per week. What was the actual currency we were using? Right, yeah, dinar exactly. And Rehuda thought it was the same amount, but different coins were being used. Tarpikin. If she's being moredis, she loses out 7 tarpikin per week. And if he's mored, he adds on rather 3 tarpikin per week. So the Gemara says again, quote to the name of Shmuel, Amar of Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel Kol Suni Geres Mered al Arusa. One writes a letter of rebellion on an Arusa, Vein Kol Suni Geres Mered al Shemeres Yavam. But one does not write such a letter if someone's being married, if the man is rebelling against the Shemeres Yavam, the woman who's become a widow, her husband died, and she's waiting for her brother-in-law to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. That's the klal that Shmuel says. So it seems that this makes so much sense because the Arusa is something that he, again, the situation is where he refuses to get married. They're engaged. He's an Arus, she's an Arusa, and he refuses to get married to take the next step of Nisuin. So he writes such a letter that he's going to add on 3 tarpikin or 3 dinar per week. But if, let's say, he's a Yavam and she's a Shemesh Yavam and he refuses to perform either Yibam or Chalitza, then we do not write such a letter. He does not get penalized. So the Gemara wants to understand, why is there such a distinction between an Arusa and a Arusa and a Shomer Yavam? Meisive? We saw this Bryce, I think, already twice. Achas li Arusa v'nesua v'afil nidav v'afil chol v'afil Shomer Yavam. We have the klal that the concept of mered applies whether or not she's an Arusa, whether or not she's married, whether or not she's a nida, whether or not she's sick, or whether or not she's a Shomer Yavam. But on this list, we have equated both an Arusa and a Shomer Yavam have the same dinim. So how could Shmuel distinguish between an Arusa and a Shemesh Yavam if the Mishnah, the Brisa, says there is no such distinction? The Gemara says, Lokasha, this is not a problem at all, because Kan Shetava Hu, Kan Shetava Hi. Depends who's being Tovea, depends who's requesting to take it to the next step. So, it says, the Gemara continues to explain what the difference is. The Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avimi, Amar Shmuel, Tava, who, if he's being Taver, he says, let's get married, Nizkakin Lo, so then we force him to, we'll read Rashi in a second, Tava, he ain't Nizkakin Lo. If she requests, we do not force. So what is this talking about? So if you look at Rashi, 3 lines from the top, he says, Shetavahu, if he's being Taver, Avihi Maredes, and she refuses to get married, or refuses to do Yibum, Tavahi, if she is being Tavaya and he refuses, so Lach is Ein Niskakin La, Lichtov La Geris Mered. If she refuses, rather the other way around, if she wants to and he refuses, then we do not write a letter for her, Lhosif Al Ksuvasa, to add on. The Gemara is going to explain why. So what's interesting is, again, when he's being Tavaya and she refuses, so then we write a Nigeris and she loses out 7 dinar per week. If she's being Tovea and he refuses, we do not add on to him. So he has the upper hand here. He's allowed to be Mored in this situation of, again, we're talking about Shemer's Yavam right now. That's the contradiction. In one case, by Yavam, we say it is considered Mered. In one case, of Yavam, we say it's not considered Mered. And the Gemara says the question is, who's being Mored? If it's he who's being Mored, the man's being Mored, he actually doesn't get penalized at all. He doesn't have to add on anything onto the Ksuba. The Gemara will explain why. But if she's being Moredis, if she says, I don't want to go through this Yibum process with this guy, then she actually does get penalized 7 dinar per week. That's the difference. And so, but clearly, he has the upper hand when it comes to Yavam. Now, this should be clear. When it comes to Arusa, though, it comes to Arusa, then if he does refuse to take it to the next step, he will lose out. It's only by Yibum does he get the exemption. If he refuses, he doesn't get penalized. We're always going to go back and forth. It's going to be a little bit tricky. And then the Gemara says, so right now what we're saying is when Shmuel said that you do not write a Igeris Mered, you don't write this letter of rebellion when she's being toveya and he's refusing to get married, why did we say Shmuel was talking about dafka case of bishatavahi? Why did we make such an okimta that's only when she requests and he refuses? Hai kosvin igeres merit al arusa, it should be learusmi bailei. The girsa should have been that we do not write a letter on arusa. It should see not al arusa, it should be learusa, to arusa, because it should have been we're granting the arusa, what would have been, we grant her additional funds for the ksuba. It should have the gears of merit le'arusa, not al'arusa, not about the arusa, but to the arusa. So the fact that it doesn't say le'arusa, but rather it says al'arusa, sounds like it's not a case where she's claiming and he's rebelling. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So that's not a question. So we're back to square one. And the question being again, Shmuel says in the case of arusa, there's no igeres merit. But the Braisa says in the case of an arusa, there is an igeres merit. Oh, I'm sorry, no, the case of Yibum rather. By the case of Yibum, there Shmuel says there is no Igeres merit by Yibum, but the Braisa says there is an Igeres merit by Yibum. So the Gemara says, okay, so Mishnah, Yishomer, let's understand this, Lokasha rather. Lokasha, Tana Learusa. Okay, Einachanami, it says Tarusa. We change the gears, it says Tarusa. So the answer we initially said was okay, that again, if he rebels from marrying the Yavam, he doesn't get penalized. But if she refuses to get married to the Yavam, she does get penalized. Maishna, what's the difference? Maishna Shemesh Yavam. Why does Shemesh Yavam? De lo aminala zeal lo mifkades. So if she claims and he refuses to get married to her, we don't grant her any money because even though he's being married, we say, go find someone else. Go lo mafkedes, Rashi says, you're not mechayiv in Peruvu. There's no obligation in Peruvu. So for you, so you're not really losing anything. Okay, you're standing alone, and we know you want to be married. It's very sad, of course, but there's no mitzvah Peruvu for you, so we don't grant you any additional money for the ksuba if he refuses. So Gemara says, wait a second. Arusa nami neimalei zeal lo mafkedes. So by Arusa also, if she wants to get married as an Arusa and he refuses, we shouldn't have to make him penalized either because there's no mitzvah Peruvu on her as the Arusa. So that can't be the svara why the difference between her and him because of Peruvu. Because even by an Arusa, if he refuses to marry the Arusa, there shouldn't be a Igaris merit. But there is an Igaris merit. So the Gemara says, Ella biba machmas taina. It's actually where she comes, she has a good taina. What's the taina here? What's the claim she's trying to make? The Amra, she says, Ba'ina chutuliyada. Literally, she wants a stick, a cane for her hand, umara lakura, and it's not, I guess like a master for her, someone to take control. What does it say?
A shovel.
A shovel, okay. A shovel to have her get buried when she dies. She wants a child because she wants, Einachanami, she doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu, but she still wants children because she's a mother. She wants someone to rely on when she gets older to take care of her, and when she dies, someone to bury her properly. So that's why she wants a child. So that's why in Arusa, if he refuses to marry her, an Arusa, then she gets the money. Gemara says, wait a second, that very same Svara, Hachanami Shemeres Yavam, Biba Machmas Taina. As a Shemeres Yavam, she can make the same Taina, that if he's refusing to marry me, she says, I want to have a child because I need someone to take care of me when I get older. That's also seemingly a good Taina. So still not a good, satisfying answer. So Ella Idi V'Idi Shetavahu. Really, both situations is where he is claiming from her to get married. The lokasha, there's not a problem. Kan lachlots v'kan liyavam. If he's making a claim to do chalitza, and then she says no, so then we're gonna make we penalize her. But if he wants to perform yibum, and she refuses to do yibum. Let's read it through. Okay, I guess Gemara and Rashi. Let's read. Gemara says, "Idividi really, it's a case where he's being tovea from her. Below kasha kan lachlots v'kan liyavam. One case is where he wants to do chalitza. One case is where he wants to do yibum. Damar Rabbi Pedas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tova lachlots. If he makes it, he's tovea. He wants to do chalitza. Niskakan lo tova liyavam. He wants to do yibum. Ein niskakan lo. Then we do not force." We do not force him. He does not lose out. So Gemara wants to know why not. Let's understand this case. Why is there a difference whether he's doing chalitzer? He wants to do chalitza, then we and she refuses to do this, so then we write a garis merid. If he wants to do yibum and she refuses to do this, then we don't write a garis merid. Why is there a difference? Why by yavam, if he wants to do yibum, we don't write a garis merid for her? The low, the aminale, because we say to him, zil nasa isisacharisi. So why do yibum with her? Why not just marry somebody else? So we're not going to force this lady, your sister-in-law, to marry you. So we're not going to force it upon you. So therefore, we do not write any garis merit if she refuses to do yibum. If
Is
that's...
there a zakika left over here? I mean, maybe he just walks away?
Well, I guess I'll have to do chalitza. Have to do chalitza, but we're not going to obligate him. If he wants to do yibum and she doesn't want to do yibum, so we're not going to make her uncomfortable. It's not the only woman for the man. There's plenty of other fish in the sea. So that's why we can't force it upon her to do that. But if he does lachlotz, if he wants to do chalitza, so Gemara says, if he wants to do chalitza and she refuses, she wants to do yibum instead, we write igeres yavam, igeres is a merid. So lachlotz nami, name a lei, zil nasim es zachrisa. So why not say, I guess, to her this time? So here, Joseph, she's being mored and she wants to do yibum. So why do we have to take away from her, penalize her at all? Just tell the man, walk away from her, and then just go marry somebody else. And whenever she wants to do chalitza, you do chalitza. There's no need to penalize anybody in this situation here. So either by whether it's he's trying to do chalitza or he's trying to do yibum, either way, it doesn't make any sense to have to penalize her. In both scenarios, he could just walk away and marry somebody else. Ella. Damar, rather, what's the difference? Damar, kaven de agida bi. So, rather, it's where he says, since she's, I guess, clinging to me, connected to me, lo kahav yahiv li achrisi. Since I have still Zika here with this lady, no one's going to want to marry me. Because I have to get rid of her first before I can marry somebody else. So, she's holding me back, but not willing to do chalitza here. So, the Gemara says, hachanami, kaven de agida bi, lo kahav li achrisi. So too by the case of her, he wants to do yibum, and she wants to do chalitza. So I can't just go ahead and marry somebody else. I'm still connected to her. No one's going to want to marry me until I deal with my situation here first. So Gemara throws out that situation. It's not a difference between chalitza versus yibum. Ella, the Gemara finally concludes. I think it's the final answer. Ella, idividishatavaliyavim. Really, it's both cases where he is being tavea. I want to do yibum, and she refuses to do yibum. V'lo kasha. So why in one case of Yibum do we say if by her refusal she loses out Parik, and one case by her refusal she does not lose out by Parik? Then where it says Lo Kasha, this is not a problem at all. Kan Kimishna Rishona, Kan Bimishna Achrona. One is like the initial Mishnah, one's like the second Mishnah. What are the two Mishnayos? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us the Mishnah Bechoros, the end of the first paragraph, I believe, that says Mitzvas Yibum Kodemus Lamitzvas Chalitza. Right. Ideally, the Torah tells us that there are two approaches to take to a Shomer's Yavam. Either one could perform the mitzvah Yibum and continue the house of her, the bais of his brother, or he could do Chalitza and just let her off, go free. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Bimrishona, initially, Shayu miskavnin l'shem mitzvah. Initially, that was true when they had kavanas for mitzvah, that he really wanted to continue his brother who had passed away. He wanted to continue his legacy that never happened. So that, with good intentions, they allowed one to perform Yibum. But Achshav, the Mishnah continues, nowadays, Shein miskavnin l'shem mitzvah, nobody has the proper intentions. People just have intentions of being pogeb be'erva and the sister-in-law. They have bad intentions. Amru, the Chum and change to say mitzvah chalitza kol damesh li mitzvah yibum. They said, now actually, we push to mitzvah chalitza, and we don't allow for mitzvah yibum. We saw such a machlokas in Yivamos, whether or not we allow even for mitzvah yibum anymore. I think Sfardim do allow for it, Ashkenazim don't allow for this. But certainly, lichachila, we very much encourage and push for chalitza because people don't have the proper kavanos. So with that distinction, so now that's the case. It's both cases where he wants to do yibum. Initially, where he wants to do yibum, and yibum was actually a mitzvah, and she refused, so she's going to lose out because she's preventing him from doing the mitzvah of yibum. But now, Mishnah Achrona, we say you can't do yibum anymore, and he still wants to do yibum, and she refuses. There, you can't penalize her because she wants to do the right thing. She wants to do, according to Mishnah Achrona, that yibum is not supposed to be done, and he's doing the wrong thing by wanting to do mitzvah yibum. And that's why it's talking about in the second case of where he doesn't get the money for her refusal. That's by the Mishnah Achrona. In the end of the day, just to recap what we just learned from today, this first Amud is that by an Arusa, if she's an Arusa and she refuses to get married to take the next step of Nisuin, so everybody agrees she's going to lose out, she's going to be penalized 17 dinar per week. When it comes to Shemesh Yavam, we said it depends whether it's Mishnah Rishona or Mishnah Achrona. If it's Mishnah Rishona and he wants to get married and she doesn't, she loses out because he wants to do the mitzvah Yibam. But mitzvah Mishnah Achrona, if he was being Toveya to do Yibam, she doesn't lose out because she's doing the wrong thing. We don't have the mitzvah Yibam anymore. The question becomes, with the Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't address in the end of the day, what happens if he wants to do Chalitza? In that case, the Mishnah doesn't conclude. He wants to do Chalitza, so the Chorot should be telling the same thing also. If he wants to do Chalitza, Mishnah Rishona, which is the wrong thing, so then she shouldn't be penalized. But if he wants to do Mitzvah Chalitza, B'Mishnah Achrona, where we say Chalitza is the way it's supposed to be done, and she refuses to do Mitzvah Chalitza, so seemingly, I guess, she would be losing out per week as well, maybe. I'm not sure. Okay. The Gemara of the Two Dots now says, Ad Mosai Hu Poches. The Mishnah told us, up until what point do we take off from a ksuba? Is there an end? I think the Mishnah ended up saying that until there's nothing left in the ksuba. Once there's nothing left in the ksuba, so that's it. So then we have the machlokas, which currency do we use? Do we use dinar or do we use tarpikin? The Gemara wants to know, my tarpikin, what exactly is a tarpik? So Amar of Sheshit, explains, astira. It's an astira. Well, that doesn't help us much because kam astira. What's astira? Paulago de zuz, it's half a zuz. So a dinar is a zuz. A mission which says dinar, according to Tanakhama, 7 dinar per week, the same thing as seven zuz per week. So tarpika is half that amount. So Rabbi Yehuda thought half the amount you pay. So according to his calculation, it's going to end up being, I think, 400 weeks. You said it was 200 weeks according to the dinar. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to take 400 weeks until you deplete the funds of the ksuba. And Tananami Hochi, there's a brisa that supports this idea that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shlosha tarpikin, there are three tarpikin, Shehein Teisha Mayin Meya Vechati Lechol Yom. I'm not sure how to do the math here. Let's see, the three tarpikin, which are equal to 9 Mayin Meya, which end up being half per day. Okay, I see. Ah. Okay, right. Half a dinar per day. As opposed to our Mishnah is you do 1 dinar per day. This ends up being only half per day. But you only have to give three. A total of three. Because three tarpikin, you give half a day. Right, you only do for 6 days, Rashi explains. You don't give Shabbos. Shabbos isn't included. Gemara will explain why that is. But for 6 days, you give half a tarpikin per day, so that half times six ends up being a total of three tarpikin. I don't know how we see from there, though, that tarpikin is a half a zuz. Oh. Now, there's a braisa that supports that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you get three tarpikin per week. Ah, okay. It's very strange. We're bringing a braisa to support the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, we said that. Is that a raya here? Okay, I'm not sure exactly what the raya is. It's not explaining here either. This whole calculation. Okay, whatever it is, this is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says further now. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel. Maishna ihu de yahivnin le de Shabbos. Why, when she rebels, so we give him, he saves 7 dinarim or 7 tarpikin per week, which is 1 per day. But when she loses out, when he's being married and she's gaining, she doesn't get the Shabbos. She only gets 6 days of the week. So again, the calculation ends up being as follows, that when he, every day that she rebels, she loses a full amount, a full coin. And when he rebels, he only loses a half a coin. That's the ratio. Whether using tarpikin or whether using dinarim, that's the equation. But when she rebels, she loses even on Shabbos. She loses 7 days. And when he rebels, he only uses half per day of 6 days. So again, let's work within dinarim for a second. So when she rebels, she owes a dinar per day. That's a total of 7 dinarim. When he rebels, it's half a dinar per week, per day, right? Half a dinar per day, but only for 6 days, which amounts to 3 per week. And she's 7 per week, he's 3 per week. So what's the difference? Why when he rebels, he only owes a total of 3, and only 6 days, though, half per day for 6 days. But when she rebels, she loses a full dinar for every day, even including Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, ihi de mifchas kapachas lo mechzar keschar Shabbos. Since we're taking off from her, she's losing out, we're taking away money, it doesn't look like schir Shabbos, like she's being hired. We're not giving her any schar, we're taking away schar. There's no schir Shabbos. There's a problem of hiring somebody on Shabbos. You can't pay anybody for any service they do on Shabbos. But you're not paying for any service. You're actually taking away her payment. So that's why you could include Shabbos. But ihu de osifa kamosafa, but when he rebels, we're actually adding on to what he owes her. He has to pay her more, so that looks like schar Shabbos. It's a mechze, because schar Shabbos says the Gemara on top of Amud Beis. It appears like it's schar Shabbos, so therefore we're not allowed to include Shabbos. We can't include the seventh day as him paying for his rebellion. Okay. So the Tosos on the top asks the following question. He says, wait a second, why is this so problematic here? Vim Tomar, he asks, is Dima Maskel Mechse Kischar Shabbos. This looks like Shchar Shabbos. Therefore, he only pays for 6 days, not for the seventh day. Vim Tomar, Tosos asks, V'ha Shchar Shabbos Alidei Havlo Mutter. You're allowed to pay for Shchar Shabbos when it's through Havlo, when it's absorbed, it's swallowed up within the rest of the week. Kedamar Perkazov, Im Haya Sachar Shabbos, Sachar Chodesh, Sachar Shana, Nosin L'Shchar Shabbos. If a person is hired for the week, you could pay him for the full week, even including Shabbos. Or if the guy works for the month, you could even include him for the month. This is typically what we do for youth leaders who work on Shabbos. But sometimes they're also going to do work during the week. They're going to have a Pesach Chol Moed trip to Fun Station or whatever it might be. So included, so they're really paying for the weekday work. And they're also working on Shabbos, that's all included. It's Havla, it's absorbed through the weekday payment. If it's only someone who's hired on Shabbos only, that we can't pay him. But when it's absorbed through the rest of the weekly payment, so that's okay. Here too also, if the husband's being Mored, so we're going to view it as a weekly rebellion and let him have to pay the full 3.5 amount for every single day of 7 days. So Gemara says, here's different. Yesh lo mar dehacha aser mishim d'lo havi kama havla. This is not like Havla, when the husband rebels against her, not willing to have tashmish or not willing to do melacha. Dein mosifin l'chol Shabbos yachad. We're not adding on per week. It doesn't go per week. Ela masha ola b'chol yom v'yom. It's per day. We mark it off per day. We don't do, even though the mishnah presented as a weekly payment, it's actually a daily payment. So since it's a daily payment, we cannot view Shabbos as an independent day, and therefore he's exempt for any merit he does on Shabbos. But if any merit that she does on Shabbos, she actually is going to be penalized because we're taking away from what she owes, not adding on. It doesn't look like schar Shabbos from her perspective. Gemara now in the top line of Amud Beis says, Amar le Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef le Shmuel, Ma bein Mored le Mored. So why is it true? Why is it fair that when he rebels, he only pays half a coin per day? But when she rebels, she has to pay a full coin per day for 7 days? So Amar le, he says, as a response, Tsev lamad mishuk. Go out in the shuk shazonos. Go look in the shuk shazonos. And mi socher es mi. Who has a stronger yitzhar? Who's hiring who? Clearly the men are hiring the women. And since the men have a stronger yitzhar, it's more painful for them when she rebels against him than when he rebels against her. So since when she rebels, he's in more pain, he gets more money. But if he rebels against her, she's not as much in pain, so therefore she doesn't get as much. That's answer one. And Davar Acher, alternatively, Gemara says, Zeh Yitzo Mibuchot, Zeh Yitzo Mibuchot. Because the Yitzer, which shows his taivas from the outside, says Rashi, this is a physical description, Rashi says, Yitzo Mibuchot, Kashoy Nikar Umizgana. When he has the Yetzara, it's recognizable from the chutz and it's more embarrassing for him and therefore he gets paid more money. But when she has a certain type of her tashmish, it's not recognizable min b'chutz and therefore it's not Mizgana for her and she doesn't get a full payment. The Mishnah says now, Hamisharis Ishtal Aide Shlish. Somebody, let's say, goes overseas and needs to support his wife. So he appoints a apotropis, some type of messenger, person to oversee that she gets paid and fed the proper food. So the Mishnah lays out a number of rules, how much she's supposed to get. Lo yifchos lo mishnei kav in chitin. If you're going to be giving her chita, wheat, you cannot give less than 2 kav. or alternatively, you have the option of me'arba kav and sorin, or you could give her four kav of sor, either two kav of chita or four kav of sorin. Rabbi Yosef, Yosef responds back to the Tanakama, lo pasag la sorin ela Rabbi Shmuel shamach l'edom. This concept of giving her barley, barley wasn't something that was typically meant for humans. It was typically a animal food. Biosi says we don't give her a sack of sorin. That was only Rabbi Shmuel who lived near Edom. Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Yosi means by that. We'll leave that aside for now. Furthermore, the Mishnah says v'nosun l'chatzi kav kitniyos, to give her some beans of some sort, half a kav of that, v'chatzi log shemen and a certain amount of oil, v'kav grogros, kav of grogros, some dried figs, omana devela. Or alternatively, you could give her fig cake. V'im ein lo, if he doesn't have any of this, posek lumasan peris mimakum acher. Then he has to set amount for her. He has to designate for her some fruit to collect from another area. V'nosin la mita, he has to give her a bed. U'mefet's a type of mat. U'machatzelis, which is another type of mat. Mefet, I think, is for the ground. Machatzelis is for the bed itself, I think.
The first one is soft and the second one is hard.
Oh, okay, I see that in Rashi also. Yeah, soft mat, hard mat, I'm not sure if they use for mat or to lie. I think they're usually meant to be lied down on. There are different types the Mishnah Sukkah talks about, whether it's big or whether it's small. The notion of keep all the roshi to give her some type of head covering. And Rashi says, echad, tzif echad, mishana l'shana. It sounds like one per year. You have to give her, and every year you need to buy a new head covering, it sounds like. V'chagor l'masneh, some type of belt, u'minalayim, mo'lamor, buy her new shoes every single yontif, v'kelim shel chamishim zuz, and you have to give her clothing, the value of 50 zuz, mishan l'shana, a certain allowance for buying clothing per year. V'nosan la lo chadashim v'mosachama, you can't give her new clothing in the summertime because they're very, they're hard and they're warm, they're very uncomfortable, it's overheated. You can't give her old, worn-out clothing in the rainy season because there she needs extra protection, extra warmth, and the worn-out is not going to provide that warmth in the rainy season. You give her 15 zuz, in the rainy season, and during the winter season you buy new clothing, the winter season clothing, and the summertime she can wear the worn-out clothing because by summertime she won't need them to be as thick in the summertime. And then you give her an allowance of mea kesef for all other needs. And you, I guess, you eat with her from week to week. That's Rashi explains shulel ona. I think it's just a lashon nekiya. Ocheles means tashmis, I think, in this context. Is that correct? Okay. If there's not enough for mea kesef, does not suffice for what her needs are. For additional needs. So manicures or whatever else it might be. So then, Maisa Yadel Shala, then she's able to, her own actions, she could make her have her own business, and she could keep for that to fulfill her other needs. Mahi Ose Lo, so what does she do for him? What's her obligation to him? So we saw this already quoted in the Gemara, but now we're finally seeing the Mishnah. Mishkal Chamesh Shlom Shesi Biyuhuda. So, what she works, the first five shlam that she makes of Shesi, that value in Yehuda, that was that the warp, or one of those strings of the weaving in Yehuda, which is equal to Shehein Eser Shlam Begalil, which is the same value as 10 shlam in Galil, different area of Eretz Yisrael. Oh, Mishkal Eser Shlam, or the weight of 10 shlam Arev, which is the other direction of the strings of the weaving, Yehuda, Shehein Esim Shlam Begalil, which is equal to 20 shlam in Galil. Whatever those amounts mean, I don't know how to translate it to our language, but that's what she owes. With any work, any business that she makes, she owes to her husband. Above that, she's allowed to keep for herself. Vim ha'isa manika, pochsan la mimais yada. If she, let's say, is nursing, so then we detract from her mais yada. What do you mean we detract from her? Uh-huh. She only owes her 3 or 4, whatever the amount might be. Okay. We also have to feed her additional food because she's now feeding for two. She's eating for two. But when is this all true? All the different amounts we list in the Mishnah was for an ani. Somebody who is more honorable, somebody who is wealthier, then it all goes according to, there's no set amount. It's all subjective depending on his kavod, what he's capable of doing, what he's used to, that's how he should treat her as well. Okay, the Gemara tells us, Mani Masis, and who is the Mishnah who had all these different rules and lists of amounts? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokov, Lo Rabbi Shimon. Can't be either one of these Tanaim. Why? Not because the Mishnah that appears in Kalim tells us, V'kama shi'uro, what's the shear of what? Of Eruv Tchumim. When a person sets up an Eruv Tchumim, a person wants to expand the borders to walk on Shabbos, so he needs to, he only gets 2,000 Amos. But if he, before Shabbos, sets an Eruv Tchum, he plays a little Suda, wherever it might be, and he has another 2,000 Amos from that Suda that he set aside before Shabbos. So what's considered Eruv Tchumim to be considered a Suda? A little parcel of bread is not going to suffice. So how much do you need? So says the Mishnah, Kamashiro, Mazon Shtei Sudas L'chol Echad V'Echad. You need an amount of 2 meals for each person who's going to be partaking in this Eruv Tchumim. Mizon L'chol V'lo Shabbos Divir Reb Meir. So what's considered a food? What's considered a meal? It goes based on a meal, what person eats during the week, not what a person eats on Shabbos. Typically, a person eats much less on the weekday than on Shabbos. So whatever the amount might be, we go based on the weekly meal. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Shabbos, the Lachol. No, you actually look at Shabbos, how much a person eats on Shabbos, and that's the size of a mazon, a suda, that a person needs to set aside as the Erev Tchumim. V'zeh v'zeh miskavein lehakel. Both individuals actually, they're trying to be mekel. So why? I would think the one who thinks Shabbos is the person who's being machmir. You have a larger suda for Shabbos. So Rashi explains, miskavein lehakel. Rabbi Meir, how you ragu lechel pas b'Shabbos yosem b'chol. Rabbi Meir, like I think most people nowadays, would eat more bread on Shabbos than they would during the chol. Sheyamam shich pas lechol minim haban lefanav. He'd be eating all the different types of breads that are being fed to him throughout Shabbos. So he said, go based on the weekday meal to be mekel. Rabbi Yehuda, how you ochel pas b'chol yosem b'Shabbos sheyasaveh b'minim madonim. No, he would actually eat more bread. Right now, what we're looking for is not the overall meal. We're looking for how much bread a person eats. So Rabbi Meir would eat a lot of bread at his Shabbos meal. Rabbi Yehuda would eat very little because there's so much other meats, and there was cholent, and there was kugel. He eat so much bread. He eat more bread during the week than he did on Shabbos, actually. So they're both coming lahakel, whichever is amount, the less amount of bread, that's what should be used for the Erev Tchumim. Gemara then says, that's all according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Comes along in the Mishnah and quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Kikar ha-lakuach, you need to use a piece of bread that's bought by Pundayon Marbosen Lesela. So I'm not sure how to really translate this amount. Bipundayon is that's part of the it's a type of currency that when you sell for sa'a of chita for a sela,
computation.
I see here. A pundayon, I'm being told here, is 1/48 of a sela. Okay. And a sela has 4 dinarim in it. So sela equals 4 dinarim, which equals 1/48 pundayon. And 1 dinar has 6 maos, and a mea is 2 pundayon. So it turns out, if you're following this calculation, I'm certainly not, in 4 saw, they end up being 24 kav.
Well, he's giving an amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that amount of money, in different times, would buy different amounts of food. So
right.
What's he telling us? So it was like, well, if you spend on punyon, but when the wheat, this price of wheat is such that the punyon will buy this amount of wheat.
Uh huh.
But I guess if the market is different and it buys more, it buys less, then I guess that doesn't work.
So it only works if we set the market value, so one punyon could get that amount. We're looking for the amount, not the money.
So why doesn't he just give the amount instead of the amount
yeah.
of money?
Okay, I don't know. Okay, whatever the calculation is, that's the amount we're looking for according to Yochanan ben Broka. I imagine the calculations are going to be pretty important here. We're trying to figure out why Yochanan ben Broka is not the author for Mishnah. Let's see for a little bit. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shtei Yados Lekikar Mishlosh Kikaros Lekav. He says two yados, two portions for bread, from three kikaros lekav, from three breads in one kav, which is chet le besamenuga vechati chati la psulas gvia vechati chati lekav la tumas ochon. Okay, that actually the last part is something completely separate. So Bishimon's calculation is you need 2/3 of a kikar that's the size of a kav. So let's say you take a kav of wheat and you make three loaves of bread out of that. So you need to have 2/3 of those bread. Two of those three breads is going to be the shear you need for the, that's the shtei mezonos. That's according to the calculation of Rabbi Shimon. Now, the end of the Mishnah, it's not really necessary for us, but just continue again. Chetzia, half a kikar, is the beis hamenuga. That's how much it's going to be that a person, let's say, enters into a house that's a tameh, that's saras on this, and he stays there. If he comes in for half a second and leaves, he's not metameh. Only if he sits there or stands there for a moment of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, is he going to become tameh. And chatzi chatzi, half of that, which is another way of saying a quarter of the size of the bread, is going to be lifsol es agvia. A person who eats that amount of tuma will become tameh for eating tameh truma. He'll become tameh, and he'll then become tameh from eating truma. The chatzi chatzi chatzi, which is half, which is an eighth of that size of bread, is going to be the kabel tumas ochlim. If you have that size of bread, it's considered a food, and that food touches, let's say, a mace, that food will become tameh. But if it's less than that eighth amount of a loaf of bread, it will not become tameh from touching something. So that's the Mishnah. So we wanted to say, the Gemara continues to explain as follows. Miani, who is the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Tamnin Havin. If it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we would require 8 sudos. Right, because the calculation that we need, we're trying to say that from our Mishnah, when the husband goes away and he has appointed an abachapas to feed his wife, so she requires 14 meals during the week. Every day there's going to be 2 meals. There'll be a morning meal, a brunch, and a dinner meal. 2 meals a day is what they had. So she needs a total of 14 meals. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and our Mishnah told us that you get shnei kav of chita per week. And that's going to be enough. But according to Yochanan ben Broka, 2 kav is only going to get you 8 meals. Just if you're following the calculation, which I'm not following the calculation entirely here, but he said that 1 kav got you 4 meals. So if you have 2 kav, it'll only get you 8 meals. But we're looking to get the woman 14 meals here. So 2 kav, according to Yochanan ben Broka, will not be enough for 14 meals. And Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, that he held, just accept these calculations, that 1 kav gets you 9 meals, tamnei sari havin, you would require 2 kav would get you 18 meals. That's more than you need. You only need 14 meals. You don't need 18 meals. So again, doing these calculations, it's not going to line up properly, whether it be Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka or whether it be Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, Liolam, really, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. He really authored the Mishnah. Kedamar Rav Chista, Tse Mehem Shlish Lechenvani. Like Rav Chista explains, that a Chenvani, who takes an additional Shlish for all the Tircha that it does, so when you pay the amount, you don't just pay directly for the bread you're getting, there's also a service cost that's being paid here as well. So a third of that goes to the chenvani. And doing that math, hachanami, I see telso shadi alayu. Here's also the shlish, the one who's overseeing and paying her. He also collects money. He's not doing this as volunteer work. He's not doing this as a chesed. He's getting paid for his work. So if you do the math, a third of it goes to the kikar and goes to the chenvani and goes to the shlish. Doing that math, it actually turns out to be that's let's see, how's the math do? So from half a kav, you get 3 meals. I'm sorry. The shlish is not the guy is not collecting money. He actually is doing a chesed here. She keeps that third amount. So the calculation according to Yochum and Broca, we said that really initially we said that one suda gave us four meals. So one kava gives us four meals. Two kava gives us eight meals. But it's not true because one kava, when we gave one kava four meals, it really produced six. But a third, which ends up being two, was given over to the chenvani. So really, according to Rabbi Yochum and Broca, one kav produces six meals. So two kav, as the Mishnah tells us, which is going to produce 12 meals. But then we need 14 meals. How's that? Right, that's of course a question. Where I say, okay, that's 12. So again, so just say that one more time. So again, according to Rabbi Yochum and Broca, one kav gives us six meals. Ah, how come before by the Erev Tehillim he only only one kav turned into four sudas? Because one third of all them, which is two of the six meals went to Chenvani as a form of payment. That's why it only produced four. But in reality, one kav produces six. And since the woman's baking on her own here, she's been baking in her own house, so she gets the full six amount. One kav equals six, two kav equals 12. So that's what's going on here. But the Gemara says, wait a second, Akati Tarti Sarnhav, it's still only 12. We need 14. So Gemara says, Ochelas imo leili Shabbos. So since they eat with each other each Friday night, so that for Shabbos, he's going to bring the other two meals for Shabbos. He's going to take care of Friday night and Shabbos morning. He'll take care of that on his own. So she gets 12 on her own, and then he brings the other two meals for the weekend. I said, wait a second, Hanichalamandamar, that all makes sense. The Mandamar Achilamamish, when the Mishnah says that they eat together on Leil Shabbos, that refers to Mamish eating. Elamandamar Tashmish, the one who says, oh, it doesn't mean eating. It's just a Lashon Nekiyah, but it really means Tashmish, Leil Shabbos, Ma'ikla Meimar. So where do you get the other two meals in if she's only able to make 12 meals from the two Kav? And moreover, Tleisa Havin, and even if you include him, let's say you think Achilam is Achilam Mamish, Leil Shabbos, they actually eat with each other. He'd only bring the Leil Shabbos meal. That's the 13th meal. What about Shabbos day meal? What about the 14th meal? Ella, Kedamar, Rav Chisa tweaks a little bit. Mech. Actually, half goes to the Chenvani. So what happens is normally one kav produces eight, but you have to pay the Chenvani who bakes, the Chenvani who's selling the bake, the challah. So really, one kav produces eight. You give half that to the Chenvani, he gets four. That's why there's only four. But in the case of the woman's baking on her own, she's being just given the chit alone, she's doing the baking, so she's going to get the full amount. She'll get the full eight per kav. So, Hachanami, we here too also, Asip Palga v'Shadi. So here too also, you're going to, she'll get to keep the half. Wait, I'm not following the math either here, though. All right, the Gemara's going to ask this question. Okay. Because it ended up being one kav produces eight, and two kav is going to be 16. We only need 14. Fine. So the Gemara says, before we even get to that point, we have a steer in Rav Chista, Kasha de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista. Because one place Rav Chista says that the Chenvani takes a third. And here the Rav Chista is saying that the Chenvani takes a half. The Gemara says, Lokasha, this is not problematic. Ho ba'asa di yav tzivi, ho ba'asa di lo yav tzivi. Depends. Depends on the situation. Sometimes, what's tzivi mean? Tzive? Is there a Rashi here? Wood? Aha. Aha, okay. In a place where you provide the firewood to the Chenvani, so you only give him a third, because you're paying him by giving the firewood. You're taking care of the fuel. In a case where you don't pay the firewood, you have to give him more because he has to cover the costs of the firewood as well. So in which case, you give him half the amount. So that's the difference, whether the firewood's a separate payment or not. Well, this goes back to the point, though. Okay, assuming we're in the case place of Rav Chista where the firewood wasn't given. So therefore, you give the Chenvani the half. So really, kav produces eight, and you give the Chenvani half. You give a total of four. But when she's baking on her own, when she receives a kav, she can make eight for herself. And when she gets two kav, and she makes 16 for herself. Ihachi asks the Gemara, Shitzarei Havin. It ends up being 16 loaves of bread she's making, and she only needs 14 meals. So the Gemara says, Kiman, who does this whole like? Kirbi Chidcha, De Amara Arba Sudos Chayv Adam Lechel B'Shabbos. We were assuming up until now, a person only requires two meals on Shabbos. which means 2 times 7, 2 meals per day, including Shabbos, that's 14. We hold like, this opinion holds like Rabbi Chidka, that there are 4 meals. We also think there are only Shloshu, there's only 3 meals. He actually holds that there are 4 meals on Shabbos. So according to him, you're doing the math, 6 days of the week, there are 2 meals, that's 12. There are another 4 meals on Shabbos, that gives us a total of 16. Fine, so that's how we get out of this problem. The Gemara says, okay, fine. Afilu teima rabbanon. You could even say rabbanon, who holds you only require 3 meals, not 4 meals. Dal chade la arche uparche. So you remove one, take one off to give the guests. And therefore she needs 16. Because you're doing the math, she requires 2 meals per day of 6 days a week, that's 12. Another 3 meals, so shoot us on Shabbos, that's 15. And you make just one more meal for any guests who might come. So that's the total of 16. Now that you've already come to this conclusion about referring to guests and 3 meals on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon. You could even say Rabbi Shimon holds this way. Maybe he holds, Rabbi Shimon, we said earlier, thought that each calf produced a total of 6, we said. I think we said 6 according to him. And so 2 calves would be 12. Set aside 3 for guests. Now I'm not doing that, that's not going to be right. Right, exactly. According to Rabbanan, who only require 3 meals, so again, 2 meals per day, that's 12, plus 3 meals on Shabbos, that's 15. No, other way. No, he held. Rabbi Shimon held that there are 18. A kav could produce, 2 kavim can produce 18 sudos. So how do you get 18 sudos? So 2 meals per day of 6 days a week, that's 12. Plus 3 on Shabbos, that's 15. And you have another 3 left over for guests. He expected more guests. And maybe he holds like Rabbi Chidka that there are 4 meals on Shabbos. Dal tarde l'archi uparche, that there are 2 meals left over for the guests. So again, the math would be 2 meals per day, that's 12. Plus 4 on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Chidka, that's 16. And the other 2 meals to get to 18 will be left over for the guests. So that math would work as well, according to him. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Amr b'yosi l'pasach sorin. So the Mishnah told us that if you're going to give her sorin, you're going to give her barley, you need to give her 4 kav. B'yosi says that only goes according to Rabbi Shmuel who lived near Edom. What does that mean even? The Gemara explains that Ela b'Edom hu da'achlin sorin b'chuyam lo'achli. They only eat barley in Edom. They don't eat barley anywhere else. We eat barley here. So Gemara says, Hachikamar. Lo pasach sorin keflaim b'chitim ela Rabbi Shmuel she'yasamach l'Edom b'pnei she'som adumos ro'osim. No. When we send the Mishnah, you have to give the double amount of barley. You have to give 2 times the barley. You have to give 4 kav as opposed to 2 kav of chitim. That's only in Edom where they have very bad, I guess, red and bad barley. The barley doesn't add up to much, so you need double the amount of sorim to equal the chitim. In all other places of the world where the barley is just as good as the wheat, so then you can have the equal amount of 2 kavin of sorim equal to the 2 kavin of chitim. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Quite a technical daf today. Okay, shkoyach.